This is Audible.
Macmillan Audio presents Finale, a Caraval novel by Stephanie Garber. Read for you by Rebecca Soler. Every story has four parts: the beginning, the middle, the almost ending, and the true ending. Unfortunately, not everyone gets a true ending. Most people give up at the part of the story where things are the worst, when the situation feels hopeless. But that is where hope is needed most. Only those who persevere can find their true ending. Before the beginning. Scarlett Dragna's bedroom was a palace built of wonder and the magic of make-believe. But to a person who'd forgotten how to imagine, it might have just looked like a disaster of dresses. Garnet red gowns littered the ivory carpets, while cerulean frocks hung from the corners of the iron canopy bed, swinging gently as a gust of salty wind snuck in from the open windows. The sisters sitting on the bed didn't seem to notice the breeze, or the person who entered the room with it. This new figure slipped inside, quiet as a thief, making no noise as she crept toward the bed where her daughters were playing. Scarlett, her eldest, was busy straightening the petal pink petticoat resting on her shoulders like a cape, as her younger sister Donatella wrapped a strand of creamy lace across her face as if it were an eye patch. Their voices were high and light and morning bright, in the way that only children's voices can be. Just the sound of them was magic, melting the harsh midday sunlight into bits of luminous butterscotch that danced around their heads like stardust halos. Both of them appeared angelic until Tella announced,
"I'm a pirate, not a princess."
Their mother's mouth warred between smiling and frowning. Her youngest daughter was so much like her. Tella had the same rebel heartbeat and adventurous spirit. It was a double-edged gift that had always given her mother so much hope, as well as fear that Tella might make the same mistakes she had.
"No," Scarlett said, more headstrong than usual.
"Give it back. That's my crown. I can't be a queen without a crown."
Their mother's frown won as she edged closer to the bed. Scarlett was generally less combative than Tella, but both girls' mouths twisted stubbornly as their hands wrapped around opposite ends of a pearl necklace.
"Find a new crown! It's my pirate treasure!"
Tella gave a fantastic yank, and pearls flew across the room. Pop, pop, pop. The mother caught one, deftly capturing it between two delicate fingers. The tiny globe was as pink as her daughter's cheeks, now that both girls had finally looked up to see her. Scarlett's hazel eyes were already turning glassy. She had always been more sensitive than her sister.
"She broke my crown."
"A true queen's power isn't in her crown, my little love. It's here." Her mother placed a hand over her heart. Then she turned to Tella.
"Are you going to tell me that I don't need treasure to be a pirate, or that my greatest treasure is right here?"
Tella put a tiny hand over her heart, mimicking her mother. If Scarlett had done it, their mother would have imagined the gesture to be sincere. But their mother could see the devilry in Tella's eyes. Tella had a spark that could either set the whole world ablaze or give it much-needed light.
"I would actually say your greatest treasure is sitting across from you."
There is nothing quite so precious as the love of a sister. With that, the mother picked up her daughter's hands and squeezed. If there had been a clock in the room, it would have stopped. Occasionally, there are minutes that get extra seconds. Moments so precious, the universe stretches to make additional room for them. And this was one of them. People don't get pauses like these very often. Some people never receive them at all. These little girls didn't know this yet, because their stories hadn't begun. Not really. But soon, their stories would take off, and when they did, these sisters would need every stolen moment of sweetness they could find. The Beginning. Chapter 1. Donatella. The first time Legend appeared in Tella's dreams, he looked as if he'd just stepped out of one of the stories people told about him. As Dante, he'd always dressed in shades as black as the rose tattooed on the back of his hand. But tonight, as Legend, he wore a seduction red double-breasted tailcoat lined in gold, accented by a matching cravat and his signature top hat. Shiny locks of black hair peeked out from beneath the brim of the hat, sheltering cold dark eyes that brightened when he looked at her. His eyes glittered more than the twilit waters surrounding their intimate boat. This was not the flat, cold look he'd given Tella two nights ago, right after he'd rescued her from a deck of cards and then callously abandoned her. Tonight, he was smiling like a wicked prince escaped from the stars, ready to spirit her up into the heavens. Uninvited butterflies took flight in Tella's stomach. He was still the most beautiful liar she'd ever seen. But Tella wasn't about to let Legend bewitch her the same way he had during Caraval. She smacked the top hat right off his pretty head, rocking the tiny vessel beneath them. He captured the hat with ease, fingers moving so fast, she'd have thought he'd anticipated her response if he weren't sitting across from her, near enough for Tella to see a muscle tick along his smooth jawline. The two of them might have been in a dream, where the twinkling sky turned murky purple around the edges as if nightmares lurked close. But Legend was as sharp as precise pen strokes and as vibrant as a freshly cut wound.
"I thought you'd be happier to see me," he said.
She gave him her most vicious glare. Her hurt from the last time she'd seen him was still too raw to hide. "You walked away. You left me on those steps when I couldn't even move. Jax carried me back to the palace." Legend's lips slashed into a frown.
"So, you're not going to forgive me for that?"
"You haven't said that you're sorry." If he had, she would have forgiven him. She wanted to forgive him. She wanted to believe Legend wasn't all that different from Dante, and that she was more than just a game piece he wanted to play with. She wanted to believe he'd left her that night because he'd been scared. But rather than looking regretful for what he'd done, he appeared irritated that she was still angry with him. The sky grew darker as writhing purple clouds bisected the crescent moon, severing it into two pieces that floated across the sky like a fractured smile.
"I had somewhere I needed to be."
Her hopes sank at the coolness in his voice. Around them, the air turned sooty as fireworks burst above their heads, shattering into brilliant glimmers of pomegranate red, reminding her of the fiery display from two nights ago. Tella glanced up to see the sparks dance into an outline of Ellentine's palace. Legend's palace now. She actually admired the fact that legend had convinced Valenda that he was the true heir to the throne of the Meridian Empire. But at the same time, the deception reminded her that legend's life was made of games on top of games. Tella didn't even know if he desired the throne for its power, if he wanted the prestige, or if he merely wished to pull off the greatest performance the Empire had ever seen. Maybe she would never know. "You didn't have to be so cold and cruel about the way you left," she said. Legend took a heavy breath, and a sudden rush of hungry waves lapped against the boat. The vessel rocked down a narrow canal that fed them into a glowing ocean. "I told you, Tella, I'm not the hero in your story." But instead of leaving now, he was leaning closer. The night grew warmer as he looked into her eyes the way she'd wanted him to the last time they'd parted. He smelled of magic and heartbreak. And something about the combination made her think that, despite what he claimed, he wanted to be her hero. Or maybe he just wanted her to continue to want him. Caraval might have been over. But here Tella was, inside of a dream with legend, floating over waters of stardust and midnight while fireworks continued to fall from the sky as if the heavens wanted to crown him. Tella tried to turn the fireworks off. This was her dream, after all. But legend seemed to be the one in control of it. The more she fought against the dream, the more enchanted it became. The air grew sweeter, and the colors grew brighter as mermaids with tropical teal braids and pearly pink tails leaped out of the water and waved at legend before diving back in. "You are so full of yourself," she said. "I never asked you to be my hero." She and Legend had both made sacrifices two nights ago. She'd doomed herself to captivity inside of a deck of destiny, in part to keep him safe. And he'd freed the fates to rescue her. His actions were the most romantic thing anyone had ever done for her. But Tella wanted more than to be romanced. She wanted the real him. But she wasn't even sure if a real legend existed. And if he did, she doubted he let people close enough to see him. He'd placed his top hat back on his head, and he truly did look handsome, almost achingly so. But he also appeared far more like the idea of legend than a genuine person, or the Dante she'd known and fallen in love with. Tella's heart constricted. She'd never wanted to fall in love with anyone. And in that moment, she hated him for making her feel so many things for him. A final firework burst into the sky, turning the entire dreamscape the most brilliant shade of blue she'd ever seen. It looked like the color of wishes come true and fantasies made real. And as the fireworks fell, they played music so sweet, sirens would have been jealous. He was trying to dazzle her. But dazzle was a lot like romance. Fantastic while it lasted, but it never lasted long enough. And Tella still wanted more. She didn't want to become another nameless girl in the many stories told about legend. A girl who fell for everything he said just because he leaned across a boat and looked at her with stars dancing in his eyes. "I didn't come here to fight with you." Legend's hand lifted, as if he might reach for her, but then his long fingers dipped over the low side of the boat and idly played with the midnight waters. "I wanted to see if you received my note, and ask if you wanted the prize for winning Caraval." She pretended to think she recalled every word of the letter by heart. He'd given her hope he still cared by wishing her happy birthday and offering her the prize. He said he'd be waiting for her to come and collect it. But one thing he'd not said was that he was sorry for any of the ways he'd hurt her.
I read the message, Tellus said. But I'm not interested in the prize. I'm done with games.
He laughed, low and painfully familiar.
What's so funny?
That you're pretending our games are over.
Chapter 2. Donatella. Legend looked like a freshly woken storm. His hair was mussed by the wind. His straight shoulders were dusted in snow, and the buttons of his coat were made of ice as he strolled closer, through a chilling blue forest made of frost. Tella wore a cloak of cobalt fur, which she wrapped tighter around her shoulders.
You look as if you're trying to trick me.
A sly grin twisted his mouth. The night before, he'd seemed like an illusion. But tonight he felt more like Dante, dressed in familiar shades of black. But while Dante was usually warm, Tella couldn't help but imagine the dream's frigid temperature reflected Legend's true mood.
I only want to know if you wish to collect your prize for winning Caraval.
Tella might have spent half of her waking day wondering what the prize was, but she forced herself to tamp down her curiosity. When Scarlet had won Caraval, she had received a wish. Tella could have used a wish, but she had a feeling Legend had even more in store for her. So she would have said yes, if she hadn't sensed how very much Legend wanted that answer.
Chapter 3. Donatella. Every night Legend visited her dreams like a villain from a storybook. Night after night after night after night. Without fail, for nearly 2 months, he always showed up, and he always disappeared after receiving the same answer to his question. Tonight, they were in an otherworldly version of the saloon inside the Church of Legend. Countless portraits of artists' imaginings of Legend looked down on them as a spectral piano player tapped a quiet tune, while ghost-thin patrons clad in colorful top hats danced around. Tella sat in a clamshell-shaped chair the color of rainforest mist, while Legend lounged across from her on a tufted chaise as green as the sugar cubes he kept rolling between his deft fingers. After that first night in the boat, he hadn't worn the top hat or the red tailcoat, confirming her suspicions that the items were part of his costume rather than his person. He'd gone back to dressing in crisp black, and he was still quick to laugh and to smile, like Dante. But unlike Dante, who had always found excuses to put his hands on her, Legend never, ever touched Tella in dreams. If they rode a hot air balloon, it was so large that there was no danger of her accidentally bumping into him. If they strolled through a garden of waterfalls, he stayed along the edge of the path where their arms weren't at risk of brushing. Tella didn't know if their touching would put an end to their shared dreams, or if keeping his hands to himself was just another one of the many ways he maintained control, but it frustrated her endlessly. Tella wanted to be the one in control. She took a sip of her sparkling green cordial. It tasted too much like black licorice for her, but she liked the way Legend's eyes went to her lips whenever she drank. He might have avoided touching her, however, it never stopped him from looking. But tonight his eyes were red around the edges, even more than they'd been the last few nights. The days of mourning for Empress Ellentine were ending in 2 days, which meant the countdown to Legend's official coronation was about to begin. 12 days from now, he'd be crowned emperor. She wondered if the preparations were taking a toll. Sometimes he spoke of palace business and how frustrating the royal council was. But tonight he was being quiet, and asking about it felt like awarding him points in the game they were playing. Because this was definitely a game, and giving Legend the impression she still cared was against the rules, just as touching was. "You look tired," she said instead. "And your hair needs to be cut. It's half hanging over your eyes." His mouth twitched at the corner, and his voice turned taunting.
"If it looks so bad, why do you keep staring?"
"Just because I don't like you doesn't mean you're not pretty."
"If you really hated me, you wouldn't find me attractive at all."
"I never said I had good taste." She downed the last of her cordial. His eyes returned to her lips as he continued to roll his absinthe sugar cubes around his long fingers. The tattoos on his fingers were gone, but the black rose remained on the back of his hand. Whenever she saw it, she wanted to ask why he'd left it. If he'd gotten rid of his other tattoos, like the beautiful wings on his back, and if that was why he no longer smelled of ink. She was also curious if he still wore the brand from the Temple of the Stars, signifying that he owed them a life debt, the debt he'd taken on for her. But if she'd asked that, it would have unquestionably counted as caring. Fortunately, admiring wasn't against their unspoken rules. If it had been, they'd both have lost this game a long time ago. Tella usually tried to be a little more discreet, but he never was. Legend was unabashed in the way he looked at her. Although tonight he seemed distracted. He hadn't made any comments about her gown. He controlled the location, but she chose what she wore. This evening, her flowing dress was a whimsical blue, with shoulder straps made of flower petals, a bodice made of ribbons, and a skirt of fluttering butterflies that Tella liked to think made her look as if she were a forest queen. Legend didn't even notice when one of her butterflies landed on his shoulder. His eyes kept flitting to the ghostly piano player. And was it Tella's imagination, or did the tavern appear duller than her other dreams had been? She would have sworn the chaise he lounged on had been a bright, lurid green, but it had blurred to pale sea glass. She wanted to ask if something was wrong, but again, that would have given the impression of caring. "Aren't you going to ask me your question tonight?" His gaze snapped back to her.
"You know, someday I might stop asking and decide not to give you the prize."
"That would be lovely," she sighed, and several butterflies took flight from her skirt. "I'd finally get a good night's sleep." His deep voice dipped lower.
"You would miss me if I stopped visiting."
"Then you think too highly of yourself." He stopped toying with his sugar cubes and looked away, once again preoccupied by the musician on the stage. His tune had ventured into the wrong key, turning his song discordant and unlovely. Around the room, the ghostly dancers responded by stumbling over one another's feet. Then, a raucous crash made them freeze. The piano player folded atop his instrument like a marionette whose strings had been severed. Tella's heart beat wildly. Legend was always frustratingly in control of her dreams, but she didn't sense this was his doing. The magic in the air didn't smell like his. Magic always held a sweet scent, but this was far too sweet, almost rotted. When she turned back around, Legend was no longer sitting, but standing right in front of her.
"Tella," he said, his voice harsher than usual, "you need to wake yourself."
His last words turned to smoke, and then he turned to ash as the rest of the dream went up in poisonous green flames. When Tella awoke, the taste of fire coated her tongue, and a dead butterfly rested in her palm. Chapter 4. Donatella. The next night, Legend did not visit her dreams. Chapter 5. Donatella. The intoxicating scents of honeycomb castles, cinnamon bark pies, carmelite clusters, and peach shine floated through Tella's cracked window when she woke, filling the tiny apartment bedroom with sugar and dreams. But all she could taste was her nightmare. It coated her tongue in fire and ash, just as it had the day before. Something was wrong with Legend. Tella hadn't wanted to believe it at first. When the last dream they shared had gone up in flames, she'd thought it could be another one of his games. But last night, when she'd searched for him in her dreams, all she'd found was smoke and cinders. Tella sat up, threw off her thin sheets, and dressed quickly. It was against the rules to do anything that gave the impression of caring, but if she just went to the palace to spy, without actually talking to him, he would never know. And if he really was in trouble, she didn't much care about breaking the rules. Tella, what are you getting dressed up so quickly for? She jumped, heart leaping into her throat at the sight of her mother stepping into her room. But it was only Scarlet. Save for the silver streak in Scarlet's dark brown hair, she looked almost exactly like their mother, Paloma. Same tallish height, same large hazel eyes, and same olive skin, just a tiny shade darker than Tella's. Tella glanced over Scarlet's shoulder into the next room. Sure enough, their mother was still trapped in an enchanted slumber, still as a doll atop the sun-bleached quilt of their dull brass bed. Paloma didn't move. She didn't speak. She didn't open her eyes. She was less ashen than when she'd arrived. Her skin now had a glow, but her lips remained a disturbing shade of fairy tale red. Every day, Tella spent at least an hour watching her carefully, hoping for a flutter of her eyelashes or a movement that involved more than just her chest rising up and down as she breathed. Of course, as soon as Paloma woke, Jax, the fated Prince of Hearts, had warned that the rest of the immortal fates, whom Legend had freed from a deck of destiny, would wake as well. There were 32 fates, 8 fated places, 8 fated objects, and 16 fated immortals. Like most of the Meridian Empire, Tella had once believed the ancient beings were just myths. But as she had learned in her dealings with Jax, they were more like wicked gods. And sometimes she selfishly didn't care if they woke up, as long as her mother woke up as well. Paloma had been trapped in the cards with the fates for 7 years, and Tella hadn't fought so hard to free her just to watch her sleep. "Tella, are you all right?" Scarlet asked. "And what are you all dressed up for?" she repeated. "This was just the first gown I grabbed." It also happened to be her newest one. She'd seen it in a shop window down the street and spent practically her entire weekly allowance. The dress was her favorite shade of periwinkle, with a heart-shaped neckline, a wide yellow sash, and a calf-length skirt made of hundreds of feathers. And maybe the feathers reminded Tella of a dream carousel Legend had created for her 2 months ago. But she told herself she'd bought the dress because it made her look as if she floated down from the clouds. Tella gave Scarlet her most innocent smile. "I'm just going out to the Sun Festival for a bit." Scarlet's mouth wrinkled, as if she wasn't quite sure how to respond. But she was clearly distressed. Her enchanted gown had turned a wretched shade of purple, Scarlet's least favorite color, and the dated style was even older than most of the furniture in their cramped suite. But to her credit, Scarlet's voice was kind as she said, "Today is your day to watch Paloma."
"I'll be back before you need to leave," Tella said. "I know how important this afternoon is for you, but I need to go out."
Tella wanted to leave it at that. Scarlet didn't understand Tella's relationship with Legend, which was admittedly complicated. Sometimes Legend felt like her enemy. Sometimes he felt like her friend. Sometimes he felt like someone she used to love. And every once in a while, he felt like someone she still loved. But to Scarlet, Legend was a game master, a liar, and a young man who played with people the way gamblers played with cards. Scarlet didn't know that Legend visited Tella in dreams every night. She only knew that he showed up sometimes. And she believed that the version of him Tella kept meeting was not the genuine Legend, because he only visited in dreams. Tella didn't believe Legend was still acting with her. But she knew there were things he wasn't telling her. Although Legend did ask the same question each night, that question had started to feel like just an excuse to come and see her. A distraction to hide the real reason he only appeared in her dreams. Unfortunately, Tella still wasn't sure if he visited because he truly cared for her, or because he was playing yet another game with her. Scarlet would be upset to learn that he'd been showing up in her dreams every night. But Tella owed her sister the truth. Scarlet had been waiting weeks for this day. She needed to know why Tella was suddenly running out.
"I have to go to the palace," Tella said in a rush. "I think something has happened to Legend."
Scarlet's dress turned an even darker shade of purple.
"Don't you think we'd have heard rumors if anything happened to the next emperor?"
"I don't know. I only know he didn't visit me in my dream last night." Scarlet pursed her lips. "That doesn't mean he's in danger. He's an immortal."
"Something's wrong," Tella insisted. "He's never not shown up."
"But I thought he only visited..."
"I might have lied," Tella interrupted.
She didn't have time for a lecture.
"I'm sorry, Scar, but I knew you'd be unhappy. Please don't try to stop me. I'm not objecting to your meeting with Nicholas today."
"Nicholas has never hurt me," Scarlet said. "Unlike Legend, he's always been kind, and I've been waiting months to finally meet him."
"I know, and I promise I'll be back to watch Mother before you leave at 2 o'clock.
Just then the clock chimed 11, giving Tella exactly 3 hours. She had to leave now. Tella wrapped her arms around Scarlet and pulled her into a hug.
"Thank you for understanding."
"I didn't say I understood," Scarlet said, but she was hugging her sister back. As soon as she pulled away, Tella picked up a pair of slippers that laced up to her ankles and then padded across the faded carpet into her mother's room. She pressed a kiss to Paloma's cool forehead. Tella didn't leave her mother very often. Since they'd moved out of the palace, she'd tried to stay by her mother's side. Tella wanted to be there when her mother woke up. She wanted to be the first face her mother saw. She hadn't forgotten the way Paloma had betrayed her to the Temple of the Stars, but rather than choosing to remain angry, she was choosing to believe there was an explanation. And she'd learn it when her mother woke from her enchanted sleep.
"I love you, and I'll be back very soon."
Tella considered getting herself arrested. She didn't want to get arrested, but it might have been the quickest route to the palace. Too many visitors from all over the empire had descended on Valenda for the Sun Festival. They overflowed the sky carriage lines and clogged the streets and sidewalks, forcing Tella to take a longer route to the palace and to skirt the delta that led out toward the ocean. The Sun Festival took place every year on the first day of the hot season. But this year was especially rowdy, since it also marked an end to the days of mourning and the countdown to Legend's coronation, which would take place in 10 days. Though only Scarlet, Tella, and Legend's performers knew him as Legend. The rest of the empire knew him as Dante Thiago Alejandro Marrero Santos. Just thinking the name Dante still hurt a little. Now, Dante felt more like a character from a story than legend did. Yet the name always pricked her like a thorn, reminding her how she'd fallen in love with an illusion, and how foolish it would be to completely trust him again. But she still felt compelled to go after him, to ignore the festival and all the excitement buzzing through the streets. Now that the days of mourning were over, the black flags that had haunted the city were finally gone. Dour frocks had been replaced with garments of sky-kissed blue, turmeric orange, and minty green. Color. Color everywhere, accompanied by more delicious fragrances. Candied citrine, tropical ice, lemon dust. But she didn't dare stop at any temporary street stalls to buy any treats or imported fizzing ciders. Tella's steps quickened and she abruptly stopped next to a boarded-up carriage house. Several people rammed into her back, knocking her shoulder against a splintered wood door as she glimpsed a hand with a black rose tattoo. Legends tattoo. The sweetness in the air turned bitter. Tella couldn't see the figure's face as he wove through the crowd, but he had Legend's broad shoulders, his dark hair, his bronze skin, and the sight of him made her stomach tumble, even as her hands clamped into fists. He was supposed to be in danger. She'd imagined he was sick or injured or in some mortal peril, but he looked entirely fine. Maybe a little more than fine, tall and solid and more real than he ever appeared in her dreams. He was definitely Legend. Yet it still didn't feel entirely real as she watched him confidently weave through the crowd. This scene felt more like another performance. As the heir to the throne, Legend should not have been sneaking around dressed like a commoner, in ragged brown pants and a homespun shirt. He should have been riding through the crush on a regal black horse with a gold circlet on his head and a cadre of guards. But there were no guards protecting him. In fact, it appeared as if Legend was going out of his way to avoid any royal patrols. What was he up to? And why had he so dramatically disappeared from her dreams if nothing was wrong? He didn't slow his self-assured steps as he entered the crumbling ruins that edged the Satine district. They were full of decaying arches, overgrown grasses, and steps that looked as if they'd been built for giants instead of human beings. And Tella had to jog just to make sure she didn't lose sight of her quarry. Because, of course, she was following him. She kept close to large boulders and darted over the rocky grounds, careful not to be seen by guards as Legend climbed up, up, up. The sweetness in the air should have grown thinner the farther she ventured from the vendors. But as she ascended, the sugar on her tongue became thicker and colder. When Tella's knuckles brushed against a rusted iron gate that had fallen off its hinges, her skin turned blue with frost. She could still see the sun blazing above the festival, but its heat didn't penetrate this place. Goose flesh prickled up her arms as she wondered anew what Legend was playing at. She'd almost reached the top of the ruins, a giant broken crown of white granite columns grayed by decades of rainfall and neglect, rested in front of her. But Tella could almost picture the decrepit structure as it had been centuries before. She saw pearl-white columns, taller than masts on ships, holding up curved panels of stained glass streaming iridescent rainbows over a grand arena. But what she no longer saw was Legend. He'd disappeared, just like the warmth. Tella's breath slipped out in white streams as she listened for footsteps, or the low timbre of his voice. Perhaps he was meeting someone?
but she didn't catch any sounds other than the chattering of her own teeth as she crept past the closest column and... The sky turned dark as the ruins around her vanished from view. Tella froze. After a heartbeat, her eyes blinked, and then they blinked some more as her vision adjusted to the new scene. Piney trees, tufts of snow, glints of light from animals' eyes, and air icier than frost and curses. She was no longer in one of Valenda's many ruins. She was in a forest experiencing the middle of the cold season. She shivered and hugged her uncovered arms to her chest. Light fell from a moon larger than any she'd seen. It glowed sapphire bright against the foreign night and dripped silver stars like a waterfall. During the last caraval, Legend had enchanted the stars to form new constellations, but he'd told Tella himself that he didn't have that much power outside of caraval. And this didn't feel like any of the dreams she'd shared with him. If it had been a dream, he'd already be stalking toward her, giving her a fallen angel smile that made Tella's toes curl inside her slippers as she pretended to be unaffected. In her dreams, it was never this cold either. Sometimes she felt a brush of frost through her hair or a kiss of ice down the back of her neck. But she was never actually shivering. If she had been, she could have just imagined a heavy fur and it would have appeared around her shoulders. But all she had were her thin cap sleeves. Her toes were already half frozen, and icy ringlets of blonde hair clung to her cheeks. But she wasn't about to turn back. She wanted to know why Legend had disappeared from her dreams, why he'd scared her so badly, and why they were now in another world. She might have thought he'd taken some sort of portal back to his private isle instead of into another dimension, but the stars pouring out of a crack in the moon made her imagine otherwise. She'd never seen anything like it in her world. She wouldn't have believed it at all, except this was Legend. Legend brought people back to life. Legend stole kingdoms with lies. Legend wrangled the stars. If anyone could walk through worlds, it was him. Not only that, but he'd magically changed his clothes. When Tella caught a fresh glimpse of his dark silhouette through the snowy branches, Legend no longer looked like a commoner, but like the Legend from her earliest dreams, dressed in a finely tailored suit accented by a raven wing black half cape, a sophisticated top hat, and polished boots that the snow left untouched. Tella considered leaving the safety of the tree line to confront him when he took a few more steps and met the most stunning woman Tella had ever seen. Chapter 6. Donatella. Tella's stomach went hollow. The woman was made of things that Tella didn't possess. She was older, not by much, just enough to look more like a woman than a girl. She was taller than Tella, too, statuesque with straight, fiery red hair that fell all the way down to a narrow waist, which was cinched with a black leather corset. Her dress was black as well, silky and slender with slits down both sides that showed off long legs, clad in sheer stockings embroidered with roses. Tella might not have thought much about the stockings, but there were also roses tattooed on the woman's arms. Black ones, matching the rose inked on the back of Legend's hand. Tella instantly hated her. She might have hated him, too. Roses weren't rare flowers, but she doubted these matching tattoos were a mere coincidence. "Welcome back, Legend."
Even the woman's voice was the antithesis of Tella's, slightly raspy and laced with a seductive accent Tella couldn't place. The woman didn't smile, but when she looked at Legend, she licked her lips, making them deepen to a shade of red that matched her hair. Tella resisted the urge to pick up a snowball and toss it at the woman's face. Was this who Legend visited in his days while he kept Tella confined to his dreams? Legend had always made it sound as if he was busy with Imperial business when they were awake. But Tella should have known better than to believe him. It's good to see you, Esmeralda. The tone of Legend's voice chilled her to her blood. When he spoke to Tella, it was deep and low, but often tinged with something teasing. This was more carnal and a little cruel, a voice that didn't know how to play. He used it as easily as the voice he taunted her with in her dreams. And for a cracked moment, Tella couldn't help but wonder if this vicious Legend was the act, or if the flirtatious Legend she saw when she slept was the true performance.
We should get out of the cold. The woman slipped her arm through Legend's.
Tella waited for him to shift away, to show a hint of discomfort, but he only pulled her closer, touching her easily when, for the last 2 months, he hadn't touched Tella. She seethed and shivered as she followed the pair, creeping behind them as they reached a two-story cottage, bright with firelight that fell through the windows and then spilled out from the door as the woman opened it, and they both stepped inside. Tella felt a flare of heat before the door slammed shut, leaving her blanketed and cold once more. She should have left, but apparently she was a masochist, because rather than turning around and saving herself from more torture, she braved the moat of thorny roses surrounding the house, sacrificing the helpless feathers of her skirt as she crouched beneath the closest cottage window to eavesdrop. If Legend was having a relationship with someone else, Tella wanted to know everything about it. Maybe this woman was the reason he'd walked away from her that night in front of the Temple of the Stars. Rubbing her hands together to keep herself from turning to ice, Tella lifted her head enough to peek through a frosted window. The cabin looked as warm as a handwritten love letter, with a stone fireplace that took up an entire wall and a forest of candles dangling from the ceiling. The hideaway seemed to be made for romantic rendezvous, but as Tella spied, she saw no kissing, no embracing. Esmeralda sat on the blazing fireplace hearth, as if it were her throne, while Legend stood before her like a royal subject. Interesting. Maybe the matching tattoos didn't mean what Tella thought they meant. But Tella was still troubled. She always imagined that Legend answered to no one except himself. And no matter who this fascinating woman was, Tella didn't like her. And she really didn't like the way Legend stood, leaning toward her, head slightly bowed as he said, "I need your help, Esmeralda. The fates have broken free from the deck of destiny that you imprisoned them in." Blood and saints. Tella ducked back down, sucking in cold gasps of air as her back slammed against the icy cottage wall. Suddenly, she knew exactly who this young woman was. Before Legend had freed the fates, they had been imprisoned in a deck of destiny by the same witch who'd given Legend his powers. The witch who Legend was speaking with now. No wonder he was treating this woman like a queen. Esmeralda was his creator. When she had cast the spell dooming the fates to the cards, she'd taken half their powers and then given them to Legend when he'd sought her out centuries later. Tella didn't actually know much more about the witch, but she wasn't supposed to be so young, or so tall and attractive. "I failed to destroy the fates,
I'm sorry, but I'm paying the price, Legend said, his voice carrying down through the cracked window above. My magic has grown much weaker since the moment they were freed. The Fates are still asleep for now, but I think they've already taken some of their powers back. I can barely do a simple illusion.
Tella resisted the urge to stand and steal another look. Was he telling the truth? If the Fates had somehow managed to steal his magic, then it would explain why he'd vanished so violently from her dreams the other night, and failed to appear last night. Yet she'd seen him use a glamour in the forest to change his clothes, and he'd seemed to have no trouble with it. Of course, that was a small illusion, and she hadn't been close enough to touch it. In one of her earlier dreams with Legend, he had explained how his powers worked. He'd told Tella,
magic comes in two forms. Those with powers can usually either manipulate people or manipulate the world. But I can do both and create lifelike glamours that feel far more real than ordinary illusions. I can make it rain, and you wouldn't just see the rain. You'd feel it soaking your clothes and your skin. You'd feel it all the way down to your bones, if I wanted you to.
It had started raining then, inside of her dream, and when she'd woken up hours later, her thin nightdress had been speckled with drops of wet and her curls had been soaked, letting her know that the dreams weren't just her imaginings, but real rendezvous with Legend, and that his powers of illusion extended far beyond them. Perhaps Legend was telling the truth about the Fates taking some of his magic, but he wasn't telling the entire truth. Maybe he could still create illusions, but they weren't powerful enough to trick people into believing they were real. Tella thought back to the dead butterfly she'd found in her hand when she'd woken up the day before. Now that she really considered it, she'd seen the butterfly, but she hadn't felt it. Its delicate wings hadn't brushed her skin, and as soon as she'd set it on the nightstand, it had vanished.
The Fates shouldn't have any of your magic, the witch bit out, not unless you release them from the cards. I would never do that. Do you think I'm a fool? I've been trying to destroy that deck since the day you made me.
Legend's tone was clipped, as if he were genuinely offended. But Tella knew that this was all a lie, a blatant lie to the woman who'd created him. He had wanted to destroy the cards, but when he'd been given the opportunity, he hadn't. He'd freed the Fates instead, to save Tella.
I still want to stop the Fates, Legend went on, but to do it, I need to borrow your magic.
You can't stop the Fates with magic, said the witch. That's why I told you to destroy the deck of destiny. They're immortals, like you. If you kill a Fate, they will die. But then they'll simply return to life.
But they have to possess a weakness.
Legend's voice took on that edge once again. A voice for unraveling and stealing. He wanted Esmeralda's magic, and he wanted to know the Fate's fatal weakness. It should have given Tella relief that he was searching for a way to destroy them. She didn't want the Fates alive either. But a horrible feeling came to life inside her as she heard the decisive click of Legend's boots. Tella pictured him moving closer to Esmeralda. She clamped her frozen hands into fists, fighting the growing urge to peek through the window, to see if he was doing more than closing the distance in order to get the information he wanted. Was he touching the witch? Was he wrapping his arms around her cinched waist? Or looking at her the way he sometimes looked at Tella? When Esmeralda spoke once more, her voice had turned seductive again.
The Fates that were in prison do have one disadvantage. Their immortality is linked to the Fate who created them, the Fallen Star. If you kill the fallen star, the fates he made will change from immortal to ageless, similar to your performers. They will still have their magic, and they will never grow old. But unlike your performers, they will not have Caraval to bring them back to life if they die. If you wish to destroy all the fates, you must first slay the fallen star.
How do I do that? Legend asked.
I think you already know. The fallen star shares the same weakness as you.
The pause that followed was so quiet and still that Tella swore she could hear the snowflakes falling on the roses around her. Twice in a row, the witch had just likened Legend to the fallen star. First, when she'd mentioned the fallen star's fates and Legend's performers. And now she just said that Legend shared the same weakness as the fallen star. Did that mean Legend was a fate? Tella flashed back to something her Nana Anna used to say when she told the story about how Legend came to be.
Some would probably call him a villain. Others would say his magic makes him closer to a god.
People had also called the Fates gods at one point in time. Cruel, capricious, and terrible gods, which was why the witch had trapped them in the cards. Tella shuddered at the thought that Legend might be like them. During the last Caraval, her interactions with fates like the Undead Queen, her handmaidens, and the Prince of Hearts had almost left her dead. She didn't want Legend to be in the same category. But she couldn't deny the fact that Legend was immortal and magical. And that made him something more akin to a fate than it did to a human. Tella desperately tried to hear what the weakness was, but Legend didn't reveal it with his response.
There has to be another way, he said.
If there is, you'll have to find it out on your own. Or you could remain here with me. The fates don't know I've come to this world. If you stay, it will be like it was when I taught you how to master your powers.
She purred. Actually purred. Tella really did hate her. Black thorns ripped the freezing feathers from her skirt as she lost her battle with restraint and rose from her crouch to peek through the window once again. And this time, she wished she hadn't. Legend was on his knees before the witch, and she was running her fingers through his dark hair, moving them possessively down his scalp to his neck, as if he belonged to her.
I didn't know you were so sentimental, said Legend. Only when it comes to you.
Her fingers knotted in his cravat as she tilted his chin toward her.
I wish I could stay, Esmeralda, but I can't. I need to go back and destroy the fates. And I need your powers to do that.
He pushed up from his knees just as the witch had been leaning into what looked like a kiss.
I only want to borrow them. No one ever wants to just borrow powers.
The witch's voice turned biting again. But whether it was because of his request or because he'd denied the kiss, Tella couldn't tell. Legend must have imagined she'd be vexed by his denial. He took a step closer, picked up her hand, and brushed a chaste kiss to her knuckles.
You made me who I am, Esmeralda. If you can't trust me, no one else can.
No one else should trust you, she said.
But her rich red lips had finally curved into a smile. The smile of a woman who was saying yes to a man she couldn't resist. Tella knew the smile, because she'd given the same one to him before. The witch was giving Legend her powers. Tella should have turned away. She should have returned back to her world before Legend caught her there, and he saw her trembling from the cold and from all the feelings that she wished she still didn't have for him. But she remained, transfixed. The witch uttered words in a language Tella had never heard as Legend drank blood straight from her wrist. He drank and drank and drank, took and took and took. Legend's cheeks flushed and his bronze skin began to glow, while the witch's harsh beauty diminished. Her fiery hair dulled to orange. The black ink of her tattoos faded to gray. By the time Legend lifted his lips from her wrist, Esmeralda sagged against him,